dive right in this morning, picking up a little bit as to where we left off last week as we were being challenged about getting out of our boat and being reminded, for those mothers who have babies, don't worry, crying is good, and we consider it great charismatic worship to be leaping, screaming, and jumping, puking, drooling. All these things are good, so fear not. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says this: "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." I'm going to stop there, and we're going to dive in after we take a moment and pray and just remind ourselves once again of our dependence on the Lord, to hear from the Lord as only the Lord can speak to us the way we need to hear. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again that this morning we come together to a place where you do not need to be sung nor prayed into a room. You are a God who has promised that where two or three gather, I am there. You never will leave nor forsake. And today we can simply say thank you. Thank you that you are here. You've provided this place, this moment in time, in which we can come together. And in a place and in a week like this, where we can be so thankful for the peace that so many long for, that today we have peace that surrounds us, that we can worship you, that we can listen to you, and that once again we can set all the many distractions of life outside these walls for this moment and hear from you alone. And I pray that once again, as always, we would join you in your purpose, that you might speak, that we might hear, that we might allow you to mold and shape and move us in the direction you so desire. And I pray today that we would be reminded of how it is again that you desire to use us, to move us, and to make us into your very image. For this we thank you, trusting that you this morning again will be the only one that speaks, and those things that we will remember and be reminded of today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we start this morning, we're looking at a passage that talks about so walking. And as we left off last week, as I mentioned, we were looking at what it meant really as Jesus was beckoning us out of the boat. That is, often God is calling us out of our illusions of control and leaving behind what's seemingly our safety to come to him. And this morning, I want to take that next step, and that is this, that really, until we are ready to abandon ourselves to Jesus, we may never truly see the possibility of our full potential. You'd never know that you can walk on water unless you what? Got out of the boat and walked to the Lord who said, "Come, I am with you. I have got you." And this may seem strange this morning. Hopefully it will come full circle and you'll understand why. I'm going to put up a picture this morning for all of you. And it may be a little small and a little fuzzy. But this morning, as you look behind me, you're going to see the results of a loving family member sent me a DNA test kit so that I might find my ancestry. Now, to address, first of all, the tinfoil hat community and our conspiracy callers here this morning, yes, I did give my DNA to probably what's a secret government agency collecting people's DNA, only to clone them or use some form of mind control, and I voluntarily gave it up. It's true. It's true. But I also realized that I air my laundry and secrets to all of you once a week, and it's put on the internet, so I figured I had nothing to lose. So, all well and fine, but we were laughing this week at what came back, and we have an interesting view of DNA in our home, choicely because, one, I'm from the Mennonite Mafia, and that has its own heritage and history and story and farmer sausage that all goes along with it that's very important. But my wife, on the other side, was adopted. And while her adoption led to her being not only Canadian-born, but now an Irish passport-carrying citizen, much of her DNA was a mystery. And that mystery was in part solved when we met her birth mother for the first time. And it was fascinating as they began to get to know each other, and she met her birth mother probably within the few first months of me meeting and getting to know her. And so I joined her on this journey, and as they slowly got to know her, and we met her paternal grandmother, and as we got to know a little bit about her past, fascinating as we began to dig through and go, wow, that's genetic. And wow, that's learned. You learned that. You should know better, right? And so we'd have these amazing conversations that revolved around, I like my eggs rubbery. Well, how do you like your eggs? Rubbery? Genetic, right? So we'd have all these funny conversations. And as my results came in, and her birth mother loves to look into these things, deep Scottish roots, and she's mapped it back to castles and princes and princesses and all kinds of things. And so this was a gift from her so that we might see where I came from. And there was no surprise to find 70% Germanic Europe, and that consists of Holland and Germany, obviously, and Austria and Denmark, and it's a place. 20% or 19%, it showed that I came from England or the United Kingdom. That too is no surprise because I always have liked tea more than coffee. And it was like, it fits. So there was no surprise. The greatest surprise that my kids are still enjoying is the fact that if you notice, there was something hiding that none of us expected, and it was those sneaky Vikings, that Norway and Sweden, 11% from this Nordic Scandinavian background, and my kids, you have to know, young as they are fresh off watching movies called How to Train Your Dragon, okay? A group of Vikings who tame dragons, right? And ride them into battle. And the moment they saw that, they're like, yes, Viking blood! And they're picturing our ancestors riding dragons with helmets with horns on them. And no lie, I'm just going with it and saying, yes, that's where we're from, kids. So the fact is this, that as we look back through these things, and it's fascinating to see where we came from. As fascinating as what's in my DNA is what is a lacking DNA. I was expecting Russian blood, and I excuse many of my habits on the Russians for whatever reason, or traits, or physical things, because I know some of my grandparents came from there. And yet it shows that our heritage, our ancestors, traveled much, but did not intermarry with those whose land they went through much. And so this fascinating discovery of what's there. Now, you might ask, what does this have to do with our passage whatsoever? And here's what God has been hitting me with this last little while, and this has been a picture of it. And that is this, that today in a broken world, we are all longing for some form, some fashion of completeness. For some, finding out their heritage. I have friends who are adopted, still searching and seeking for birth parents, hoping that somehow it will fill in the gap, make them complete, to know where they came from, what they came from, what circumstances they came from, why they were given up. And in some form, never feeling like they'll have answers. I have other friends who found their parents and found their heritage and found their background and found their story and found like it gave them more questions than answers. And this morning, as we're called to step forward in Christ, Jesus the Lord, to so walk in him. This struck me this week, that it says this, Colossians 2 verse 9, in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you've been made complete. He's the head over rule and all authority. And there's this understanding that in him alone we are made complete. And it brought me full circle back to one of my last conversations with a gentleman named Major Ian Thomas before he passed on and went to be with our Lord. And you know what? He was excited about something, and that something was this. He was excited about DNA. But do you know what he called it? Not just DNA, as I've shown you this morning, physical heritage. He was excited about something he had begun to coin, the divine nature from above. Isn't that great? Divine nature from above. And this morning, I want to read you that verse, Colossians 2 and verse 9 and 10, in a few other translations, and it may bring a little clearer where we're going this morning, and that is here. The NIV puts it this way. Again, always translations trying to find the right words, the right way to translate into English the meaning of what we're reading in that original language. The NIV puts it this way. In Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. The Amplified, which again often adds words to try and get the fullness of that meaning in the original language, says it this way. You are in him made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. Lastly, a gentleman named J.B. Phillips, who translated the New Testament for his youth in England in the war times, and he put it this way, yet it is in him that God gives a full and complete expression of himself. Within the physical limits that he set himself in Christ, moreover, your own completeness is only realized in him. And as we begin to look at our world, longing in a broken world for wholeness, completeness, here's J.B. Phillips' take, your own completeness is only realized in him. And now, today, as we move forward, as we look back, we're longing, and we can get led astray. And this is our passage this morning, in the midst of the charge to walk in Christ, in the midst of the charge that in him you've been made complete, is the warning. And what's the warning? Colossians 2 verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. You see, if we're not careful in our longing to walk in the ways of Christ, in our longing to be found complete or find completeness, wholeness, the ongoing danger is that we will be led to believe that completeness is found through philosophy. That it's a way, that it's an intellect, that it's a person's perspective that you will find it through. That we can be deceived to think that it's found through the elementary principles of the world or in the traditions of men. And how often do I long for completeness, strive for completeness, but I do so trying to find it in my own means, by my own ways. That is, if only I pray more, I'll be more complete. If only my attendance were more perfect to church, I'll be more complete. If only I were more patient, I'd be more complete. If only I would give more, I'd be more complete. If only I were angry less, I'd be more complete. You see, in each of these, I'm longing, I'm looking for completeness. And yet, if I'm not careful, my longing for completeness leads me to the deception that completeness is something I find, something I do that gets me there. And I want to remind you this morning that as long as we read God's word, when we get to heaven, more than it is what did you do, it is going to be the question, who are you related to? Because I will paint a rosy picture and remember the words we've read before together in the Gospels. You will come to me and they will say, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did all these things, and yet Jesus' words, I never knew you. You see, they were a group of people doing, trying to be something, and while in their hopes that when they got to heaven, God would say, what did you do? No, the grand question today is, whom are you related to? And in so many ways, we put the cart before the horse when we try to fix our actions before a God and present ourselves complete on his behalf, rather than come to a God as broken people and say, God, complete me. Mend me. Strengthen me. It puts it this way, and I'm going to read you a few verses this morning, as always, but in 1 John chapter 3, we're reminded this by John. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. See, as John writes, he reminds us of this, that God has called us children. He's called us children, that one day we will be like him. That's where God is taking us. That's what God is making us. Not that we are making ourselves for him, but that he's taking us to that place. If we were to read on in Colossians, it says this in the next chapter, in Colossians chapter 3. It says, listen, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. It says this in Colossians 3, verse 10. And if I want you to put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freedman, Christ is all and in all. You see, today it doesn't matter where I am from. It says in Colossians 3, whether Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. Doesn't matter. Whatever your map shows, if we still have it, we don't. That's fine. Wherever you're from geographically, doesn't matter. Whatever DNA, and you can wish and long that you had different DNA. My kids do it all the time. They look at me and then look at the weird things they've gotten from me and simply say, I wish I had mom's genes, not yours. And that's what we do, is all the bad things, they came from me, all the good things came from her. It's obvious. It's true. Passed down. But you see, the gospel's presenting this incredible picture for us today, that God longs to adopt us as sons, children of God. And if I could put it in Major Ian Thomas's own words, he put it this way, that there is this divine picture on this earth. A beautiful picture that says this, just as a man takes a woman to be his wife, the two become one, and the product of this intimate earthly relationship is what? Conception, the reproduction of life. And today, God longs to give himself to each and every one of us. It says we are espoused to one husband, that is the bride, the church, espoused to who? Jesus. And when we unite with him, what do we have? Just as a man imparts his life to a woman and life is reproduced, when God imparts himself to man or woman, what does it tell you? There's a natural recourse. Life is reproduced. We become partakers. Just as you are partakers of your parents' DNA, when you allow God in, you become a partaker of the divine nature from above. Life is reproduced. But you can't find that life without the intimate relationship with the one who longs to give you that life. And isn't it wonderful that Scripture is this beautiful building, a storyline that ends with a wedding meal when the bride is finally given to the groom, united. You see, from the very beginning, we're reminded of this in Genesis 1, that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Jeremiah puts it this way in Jeremiah 1, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. It's written this way in the Psalms, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Paul writes to the Ephesians and says it this way, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. And he goes on and writes this to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, listen, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, when God comes into our lives and we allow him to impart his life, far greater than any human DNA that we could look for or long for, God imparts something called the divine nature from above. He longs to complete us. But without him, no matter how good our actions, no matter how good our intentions, no matter how good our attendance, no matter how long our prayers, no matter how melodious our songs, we'll never find it. We'll never find it. But I want to continue reading Colossians chapter 3. Because if that's the way to welcome God in, that he might impart his life, here's the product. Colossians 3 verse 12, as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also, it says, should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So often I long for the product. I long for compassion, I long for kindness, I long for humility, long for gentleness, long for patience, long for forgiveness or the ability to forgive. And yet that sign, that show of completeness will never come if it's something I'm trying to be. And that something is if today I were to tell you I'm 11% Viking and I started to wear funny hats and run around in funny clothes, marauding Gabriola Island because I can. As funny looking as it is, me pretending to be a Viking because I think I have 11%, I can't. As much as we try to do, we can only do that which comes from within. And it won't be within if we don't welcome the only one who can put it in. The divine nature is something that is received, not something achieved. And today, we have a God who's longing to give it to us. We open the service this morning with these verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life. Do you believe it? He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. How do you participate in the divine nature? Through the promises of God. Through him. Because it's in him by which everything's been given. And that's where we started this morning in Colossians. As you've received Christ Jesus, so walk in him, and in him you've been made complete. And there lies the challenge as we go out these doors this week. That today we can spend a great deal of time blaming. Blaming our heritage, blaming our DNA, blaming our parents, blaming our background, blaming our upbringing, blaming our ancestors. Now I've got no one to blame. I was always blaming the Russians for how much ear hair I grow because I thought Siberian winters you needed to just grow natural earmuffs. But no, now I can't even blame the Russians. I don't even have any of that DNA in. Shoot. It's all me. Right? I can blame my lack of ability. I can blame my lack of self-control. I can blame all the many things I don't have or I wished I had. If only I were smarter, if only I were better, if only I were stronger, if only I were faster. And at some point I have to realize, no. None of it matters, because today every one of us have one thing available to us, and that is this. Whatever your DNA on this earth, a God who says, I'm longing to put the divine nature from above in you. I'm longing to keep you and make you and mold you into my very image. I'm longing that you might see me, or as it's put in Peter's letter, that by the very great and precious promises, that through them you might participate in the divine nature. But today it will never be a reality unless we can first come to that humble place and say, Lord, I need you. I need your divine nature. I can't make it. I can't fabricate it. I try to. I try to pretend it. But at the end of the day, it can only come from one place, a loving Heavenly Father. And today my prayer for all of you, as it is for me, is that we'd come to that point where we can admit who we are. I am just someone from Germanic Europe, a nobody, who's 19% British, 11% Nordic, semi-Viking, right? But utterly bankrupt. Bankrupt without God. Bankrupt in my ability to be what God desires, to be what God longs for, to do what God hopes for. And yet at that same time, as I can admit who I am, where I'm from, I can admit this, that today, when I allow myself to be open to him, and here we come back full circle to that boat. Peter, come. You'll never know what the divine nature can be until you abandon what your stronghold has been. You'd never know you could walk on water unless you leave the boat. You'd never know what God can do until you open yourself and say, God, I'm prepared and ready for what you will do. And today I want to invite you, whether you've been a believer for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 6,000 years, as some of you might think you are in age, maybe it's 1 year, maybe it's 2 days, maybe it's never. That today, whatever your DNA on this earth, God longs to put his divine nature from above in you. He longs that he might make you complete. Whatever brokenness, whatever disaster. And that rings in my ears. Today I had a small child, 6 years old, who had to go late to school. Do you know why? He got up, he came to eat his oatmeal, he spilled the milk on the table on his Dr. Seuss book. Good wholesome reading first thing in the morning. He then went to put some brown sugar on his oatmeal, and he spilled the sugar all over his mother's coat. And this was his words as he put his head in his hands. Dad, I'm just creating chaos. I need to go back to bed. And I said, you've earned it, son. Go back to bed. We'll take you to school when you're ready. Whatever brokenness, whatever heritage of brokenness, today, in him, you can find completeness. Today, in him, there is a way of escape. Today, in him, is a new step forward. Though the history may be trying to hold you back, there is a greater God pulling you forward. And today, we only need say, yes, I'm prepared to abandon what I was to embrace what I've always meant to be in you. Thank you, Lord. And wherever we're at, his mercies are new every morning. And today, in the midst of our brokenness, our shortcomings, our hurts, our failures, is Jesus' extended hand. I'm going to put my divine nature in you. And now, more than you ask or imagine, that's what's going to happen. Come with me on the journey. I hope that as we go out these doors, we can be reminded of those things through the week. That as we go into our lives and our histories and our families and our hurts and our failures and our struggles and our longings, and simply remember this, in him you are made complete. Or as J.B. Phillips put it, moreover, your own completeness will only be realized in him. Do you have him in? Because we can spend a lot of time singing songs about him, praying prayers to him, and still fail to say, Lord, I want you in. I want your nature to take over. And I want the old nature out. I want to be your child, no longer a child of this world, but a child of God. And that's a daily reminder. As Paul puts it, we're often dying daily before our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that this morning we are all broken people. People from many places, many backgrounds, many things. And yet in all things, you have chosen to come. To sacrifice yourself that you might pick us up out of the mud and out of our own mire. That you might, as your picture in your word portrays, marry us as the church. Impart your life to us. And reproduce a life that without you we could only long for but never see. Thank you, Lord, that today it's not what we've done, but who we are related to. And I pray that for each and every one in this room today, we might ask this morning, Lord, that you would be in our hearts, take over our lives, that we might enjoy that nature, not just searching for heaven one day, but enjoying a life that is heavenly here on this earth today. Thank you that through you this is possible, the impossible made a possibility. If only we'd depend on you and allow you to be our God. Thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.